Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Hi there, and greetings to all of you from Monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. I didn't have chance and time to continue this show of mine for a pretty long time, since I had another duties. First of all, I have spent about a month and a half being on Holy Mount of Athos in Greece. To all of you who don't know, it is a peninsula called Chalkidiki, and it looks like a hand with three fingers. One of those fingers is a little peninsula called Athos, and it is a monastic republic. There, monks live in a very harsh way of life, completely isolated from the world, although people from the world can go there and visit. But most of the monks, they don't go out. They live there in a monasteries or in a small monastic habitations called skites, or they live completely alone in hermitages. It is always very great joy and very important for us monks, and I'm sure for every Christian, of course, for Orthodox Christians in the first place, because it is very inspiring and very life-giving and spirit-giving place to be there, since people who dedicated their lives in this way of living are very special personalities, and they acquire through this way of very harsh and very serious spiritual life, they acquire deep inner peace, joy, and insight in the secrets of this life. And most of all, they acquire, if they really dedicate themselves to the ascetic feat, they acquire gift of the Holy Spirit, which transforms them and makes them divine. And it is always very inspiring to be there. And this time I had opportunity and great joy to go there with my dictaphone and to make a reportage about Holy Mount Athos. And on the other dictaphone, I made interviews with some of the fathers from this monastic republic, which was broadcasted in our radio Svetigora, in our radio show about monastic life. Then I had a certain medical intervention in Belgrade. So after all these happenings, I finally came back to my monastery of Ostrog, to my monastic cell, and now I have decided and prepared myself to continue with this radio show called The Way, The Truth and The Life. So there was three series, and this is the fourth one. And if I remember well, the third one finished when I visited my Christian friend Darko from New York, who came from Sydney, Australia. When he told me that he was an orthodox Christian, myself being stupid and spoiled snob, I felt very disappointed, expecting from him to tell me that he discovered some special, not discovered yet to me, and not known to me yet, some Far East technique, meditation, or something like that. So I said, thanks Darko, but I have to go home. And not to repeat, I had to go back tomorrow again and to ask for forgiveness, and I had to apologize myself how I actually reacted. And when he opened his door to me for the second time, next day, the very next day, I couldn't wait any longer. He opened the door of his apartment and he greeted me very joyfully, without any anger or whatever, you know. And I said, Darko, my friend, tell me, what's your philosophy? Because I don't know what is my philosophy anymore in my life. The latest philosophy of my life is emptiness. Emptiness and deep disappointment. Disappointment with life, with my life, and with life in general. And the whole thing to be worse, my late philosophy is actually thought about of suicide. Although it was not that close to me, but for the first time in my life, the thought of suicide came to my mind, which was terrifying enough. And he said, well, first of all, this is not philosophy. Second, I'm not a philosopher. I'm just simple Orthodox Christian. And being very kind and nice man, young man, he told me, he tried to explain to me what the Christianity is and what kind of life does he lead right now. He was fasting and he was in a period of Great Lent and he was preparing for communion, for the greatest Christian celebration, feast day, the Easter, or better to say, the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he told me about those things pretty much. But then he said, but you know, my friend Atsa, I'm not a theologian nor some very advanced Christian in the Christian spiritual life, but I have a book and I would gladly offer this to you, if you agree, to read it. And by the reading of this book, you can acknowledge more, much more about my faith, and much better than this poor explanation of mine. And I said, of course, I would like to read, because I always liked to read. And I was always reading something, books, of course. And he gave me a book from a certain Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich, which I never heard of. And this book was called Religion of Njegoš. Njegoš was political and religious leader of Serbian people who live in Montenegro, better to say Crna Gora in Serbian language, or in English Black Mount. Lately, the government of this independent country now, they are calling their country by the name from another language. And I would expect that to be in English, because today the English is universal language, but somehow being close to Italy and thinking that this is something very lofty or a very civilized culture, to call their country Montenegro, which is an Italian name. So it was always kind of ridiculous to me. But anyway, the Njegoš was the bishop and the political leader of this small country, which was pretty usual in the history of this part of Serbian people. Because, of course, for those who don't know, the Montenegro is part of Serbian land, and Montenegrins are Serbs, basically. But only by that toponym, they are called Montenegrins, or Crnogorci, because they live in this part of Serbian land called Crna Gora, Black Mount. And besides that, he was a very enlightened person. He was a great poet. I can freely say that he was, and he is probably the best and the biggest poet of Serbian people and in Serbian language. Although people from this independent new country now, they say this is not Serbian language, this is Montenegrin language, which is also absolutely ridiculous, because it is the Serbian language with a little local variations, but they are absolutely not big enough to be called language. But this is not the topic of this lecture. And Njegoš was extremely spiritual person, the person of deep prayer in the first place. And he was actually a prophet. And not that long time ago, the Montenegrin part of Serbian church called Mitropolia of Montenegro and the Seaside, they canonized Njegoš, Petar Petrović Njegoš. They canonized him officially to become saint, although he was celebrated by people long time ago. And I must admit that, first of all, never heard of Bishop Nikolaj Velimirović, nor Njegoš was never, ever very important, interesting to me. But anyway, out of respect to my friend Darko, I accepted the book. And after a little bit more of our conversation, I had to go because I was tired. It was evening after a long working day in New York, which was never easy. And I said, Darko, my friend, thank you very much, and I hope see you soon. Now I'm leaving. And he said, okay, I believe that I hope that this book will be of certain benefit to you. And I replied, I believe so as well. So I went home, and since I was at that time, I remember, I think I mentioned that lately I was not in very good relation with my partner Gigi and his wife. When I arrived at our common apartment, I just had a cup of milk. I went to bathroom and just continued straight to my room. Being very tired, I have decided to read a little bit of this book and to go to sleep, which I did. I laid down in my bed, I turned on my reading lamp and started to read with this idea to read a few pages maybe, and then to use it as a nice way to fall asleep. But it happened to be absolutely different. I have to say that many years before that, I was very much into the Far East religions, especially in Zen Buddhism, but Hinduism as well was very interesting to me, and Buddhism in general. So I was very much tuned, if I can say this way, to that way of thinking, and to these terminologies, terms, and this way of explanation, the life, the universe, and things like this. And I was definitely not ready for some hard Christian literature, especially with no concrete mentions of Jesus Christ. And to make the whole thing very, very, very beautiful and very, very mystical and very serious about the providence of the Lord, the Lord, the creator of the universe, saw my poor little wounded heart, and he realized that I'm looking for him, that I'm longing for him, but that I just don't know what I'm looking for. He knew that if he gives me some hard Orthodox Christian book about Christianity, about Jesus Christ and Virgin Mary, that most likely I would refuse it. So it was very providential that my friend Darko gave me this book, where this extremely well-educated, I have to say this in the first place, Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich, and of course, even more than that, spiritual man. In this book, this is one of he wrote a lot. His corpus of his work is enormously big. But this book was one of his early works, and in this book, I have to say also that Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich, in his youth, he was very much inclined towards India and towards Indian religions. So he was still in this book, of course, this was Christian book, he was talking about Christian God, but more about God the Father, the creator of the universe. And in a way, in a terms that was very close to me, being very close in a way of terms and way of explanation, I think, close to the Far East way of talking. And this captured me immediately when I started to read. But in the same time, I realized it is not a Far East, it is not Indian literature, it is not Hindu, it's not Buddhism, it is Christianity, but in a way that I never knew that Christianity could be expressed. And it really gave me a desire to continue. And as far as I was proceeding in reading this book, slowly I started to realize and to feel this very subtle, very, very fine and very beautiful feeling in my heart, in my soul. And I can explain it as a therapy. I felt that something is healing my soul during the reading of this book. I really felt very peaceful, very joyful, very content. And it surprised me, I have to admit. It really surprised me. Because I do not remember a spiritual, philosophical book that I have read which gave me this kind of feeling during the reading. And somewhere deep in myself, I realized that something serious is going on in this text. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Of course, I didn't stop. I absolutely got awake, and there was no word about sleep. So I continued to read, and I realized that this man, Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich, is not talking about that much about Njegoš, as a matter of fact. But he was talking about the creator of the universe. And he was really using these terms, creator of the universe. He didn't talk about much about Jesus Christ. And I realized that this text is very lofty, is very sublime, is very deep, very serious, very mystical, very philosophical. And I was so stunned, I couldn't believe that a Christian bishop, some Christian priest, Pope as we say, was able to talk in such a highly expressed language, highly spiritual, highly mystical language. And more than that, he was a Serb. I must admit, I'm Serb. I'm coming from Serbian people, from Serbian country, where Orthodoxy is traditional religion. But I really never had some kind of very high opinion about my people, although I love my people. I don't want to say that I had this opinion that today's Western world have about Serbs. No, not this way. But I never thought we are something special, especially not in a spiritual way. But here in this book, I realized that I basically never came in touch with such deep, mystical, religious text and meaning. And in about a couple of hours of reading this book, somewhere before dawn, I realized that something beautiful happened to me, that my wounded soul, my painful heart, relaxed. And I felt this very feeling from long, long time ago, that I forgot long time ago, something that I was feeling when I was a child, this serenity, this being without worries, being without fears, being without doubts, simply said, being like a child, clean and satisfied as a child. And I definitely realized that Christianity is not something simple, something that you don't have to pay any attention that I used to believe before. But of course, I finally got tired, so I fell asleep with about 3/4 of book read. Quarter of book was left, but I couldn't read anymore, so I fell asleep. And of course, in maybe 2 hours, I had to wake up to go to work, but I was so in some kind of, how do you say this in English? I was so delighted about the previous reading from the previous night that I, with a great joy, went to work. And in the course of day, when we finished our moving business, we went there to East Village, to our store, and there I had enough time to finish the book, the last quarter of the book. And it was for the first time I just couldn't wait for the end of the working day to run to my Christian friend Darko and to tell him that it was straight in the center. It was hit in the center with his book, in the very center of my heart. And so when I went there, to my great disappointment, he was not at home. So I had to wait the whole next day, the night and the whole next day. Finally, he came back from, he went somewhere upstate New York. So when he came back, I called him and he said, of course, you can come. So I ran there and I told him that this book is beautiful. And I couldn't believe that some Christian author can write something like this. I thought basically everything which comes from Christianity is more or less very boring. But this was something very, very, very surprisingly, very and extremely refreshing to me. And I said, please, do you have something else? Do you have more books? This is like a food for my hungry soul. And he said, unfortunately, I do not have many, but I have one more. And he gave me another book. This time it was something, I must say, almost completely different. In what way? Of course, it was an Orthodox Christian book. It was a much smaller book, because this one was something like 200 pages. This one was something about small book, about maybe 80 pages. And the first one, being very esoteric book, being very philosophical, this one was more like a practical guide, if I can say it this way. And this book was written by a certain monk, Nilus, from Mount Athos, that I have mentioned in the beginning of this lecture. He was a Russian man who in the, I think it was 14th or 15th century, I do not remember well right now, he went, as many Orthodox Christian young men, to Mount Athos, as many young men used to do from Russia and from over Balkan Peninsula. So as a young man, he went to Mount Athos and he became monk there. And after about 20 years of very strong and very harsh fight with his passions and with his human weaknesses, he acquired the gift of the Holy Spirit. He acquired the deep knowledge of the mental prayer called Jesus Prayer, prayer which is a contemplative prayer, prayer which in a way resembles the meditation, or better to say that Far East meditations resemble mental Jesus Prayer. And with the blessing of the Holy Mount Fathers, he went back to his homeland to spread this holy, very loved teaching called hesychasm. Hesychasm in English, which is coming from isychasm, isychasmos, Greek word, which root is isychia. And isychia is a Greek word for silence and peacefulness, peace. So when you say isychasmos or hesychasm, it is meant the mental prayer which is performed out of the tumult of the world, somewhere in the deserts or in the monasteries, which is done by repeating a certain formula which goes, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the long formula, and there exists shorter formula which goes, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Basically, it's the same. And we in Slavic countries, Russia and other Slavic countries, our tradition is complete, full formula. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Greek hesychasts, they like to perform shorter form of this formula, of this prayer, which goes, Kyrie Isu Christe eleison me, which means, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And this man, this holy man, holy Nilus, called Nil Sorsky, because we Slavs, we do not say Nilus as Greeks say, we say Nil in a shorter form. And he was called Nil Sorsky, which means Nil of Sora. Sora is a little river somewhere in Russia, where he finally settled and where he built up a monastery, where he became abbot and where he gathered a certain brotherhood. They lived a very traditional and very serious way of monastic life without gathering material things. And he was the he was one of those monks who claimed that monastic life, the original monastic life, should be extremely without comfort. So it is called without gathering material things. So he has written this book called The Tradition of Spiritual Life, The Sayings of Spiritual Life. And there, in this book, I have realized that this book is very different from the previous one, which was very philosophical, very esoterical. This was very practical one. There I have realized that what the soul, human soul is, what the demons are, what kind of creatures, the demons exist, that the angels, the spirits of light and the spirits of darkness, they exist. What is actually a human life? What is actually human life dedicated to? And what it should be dedicated to? There also he explained what are the passions, what the passions are. What is the passion in this deeper, the deepest meaning? And what is the impact of passion on a certain human being who acquires, who accepts and this certain passion, for example, passion for money or passion for sex or passion for gluttony, for eating or for whatever, you know, drug addiction, alcoholism, homosexualism and many other passions. What is actually the impact of the passion on the human soul, on the human person? What is the impact of demons in general to humankind? What is the sick soul actually? What is this when the soul suffers? Which is, those questions were actually the basic questions in my life. And there, of course, he explained how to protect yourself from this poisonous radiation, from the demons, from the spirits of darkness, these corrosive effects that we experience from the evil spirits. And this, he said in that book, that there is a special, very specific action which gives us an arm, which gives us strength and a mean how to defend ourselves. And this specific and this very concrete action is called prayer. But not prayer in a general meaning of that word that is usual to us. You know, something that somebody that goes to church and says, God, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, or read Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Of course, those are very important. But there he meant especially the mental prayer, especially on the first place, mental, contemplative Jesus prayer, but of course also and different prayers which are performed in solitude, in silence. And I have realized that you can cut off from yourself, and you can defend yourself, and you can save yourself from the radiation, this poisonous radiation that comes from spirits, evil spirits, which are definitely existing. And I could feel this deep in myself, that influence, which almost led me to suicide, and which is leading all those poor people who commit this terrible act. So I have decided to actually to check, to test what really the prayer is. Because after those two books that I have read deeply in myself, I have realized that God, the Lord, the creator of the universe, does exist. This immense, huge creation cannot be there just accidentally. That there is a very special and very great and very beautiful and very perfect order in the whole creation, which comes from the very creator of this creation. And that you can get in live contact with that being, with that very mystical personality, because God is not something impersonal. The Lord, the creator of the universe, is absolutely personal being that you can get in personal contact, not in some abstract contact with nature or with something that is everywhere, some kind of unified fields or things like this that I was taught in the transcendental meditation, and in, of course, in general, in Far East religions. So I said, okay, I know you are existing. I know you are there, and I know you are here, right here before me, in front of me, and even inside of me. But still, I didn't make contact with you, and I am really longing for this. I really need contact with you. And I see that I almost crashed completely, and I need your help. I need your word. I need your love. I need you, creator of the universe, Lord, God, whoever you are, I need you. So, since I have realized that by the prayer and by the orthodox spiritual life, you can free yourself from the passions. And I had so many passions. One of the basic passions of mine, it was smoking, cigarette smoking, tobacco smoking. Of course, many other passions, but this was the one of the first ones that I have acquired in my life. And many times in my youth and later, I tried to quit smoking because I really never felt this is really something pleasant, very pleasant to me. You know, when you smoke, it's nothing basically. You know, you just have a bad smell from your mouth, you cough, your lungs ache, you know. But there is nothing comparing, let's say, to marijuana or to hashish, where you get stoned, you feel something. When you smoke, basically it's nothing. And moreover, I really didn't really like to smoke anymore. It gave me pain and just, you know, coughing and this bad taste in my mouth. But somehow I couldn't quit it. Many times I tried to quit smoking, but the very next day, or even the same day, I couldn't stand the crisis anymore, and I had to light a cigarette. But the thing to be worse, I would always smoke more than before this weak decision to quit cigarettes. And it was always like something was laughing to me, something was ridiculing me, something was making a fool of me, saying, aha, you wanted to quit. Now you will see what's going to happen. You will smoke even more than before. So many times it happened to me, so I have realized I'm a poor wretch. I'm so weak. I'm not a man. I'm not human. I'm like a worm. I do not have my word. I do not have my decision to quit something, to say, I will do this, and this I will not do. So for the first time in my life, I said to myself, okay, I will try to quit smoking, but not with my powers, not with my weak decision, with my claim, I will stop smoking. But I will try to stop smoking asking for the Lord's help. So what I have decided? I have decided from the next day, from the next morning, I will start pray. I will start the prayer. And I constructed, if I can say it this way, a prayer. I made a prayer by myself, which sounded this way. Lord God, help me to get freed from this passion. Thinking, of course, on smoking. Since I have realized in this book that with constant repeating and turning your heart and your mind towards the Lord, and with constant repeating, you can accomplish a lot in your life. So, okay, the next morning I started. In my mind, mentally, when I was together with my partner, when I was alone, orally, not mentally but orally, you know, not very loud, but enough to hear myself, I started to repeat, Lord God, help me to get free from this passion, thinking on smoking.
Kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. In peace.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. And the very beginning of the morning, or in the early morning, when I woke up, I started to repeat this. And to my surprise, because I was never that very hard smoker. One of those who, for example, when they wake up early in the morning, the first thing is to light a cigarette. No, it would be very, very, very hard to me to light early in the morning. I would start to smoke, let's say, there about 2 or 3 hours after waking up. Let's say about 10, 11, whenever I wake up. And, of course, I never had this craving so early for cigarette. But this morning, to my great surprise and disappointment, I have realized that very moment when I woke up, I wanted to light a cigarette. And I said, what is going on? I mean, I just have decided to try to quit smoking, and this craving became so big without some kind of obvious reason. But I said, okay, no problem. I made decision, and I will continue repeating this prayer. And during the course of the morning, I went to the bathroom, I took a shower, then I prepared my breakfast, I exchanged a few words with my partner, his wife Pamela. She already left for her job. And we were talking about some, technical things about the working day which was in front of us. And very soon I started to feel very exhausted. My mouth became very dry, with no saliva. It started to buzz in my ears. There was a headache growing up more in my head. And the thoughts are coming to me all the time, bombing my mind, telling me very openly, vividly, why are you doing this? Are you getting crazy? Are you getting nuts? Repeating this stupid sentence all the time? You're intellectual. You're a modern man. What are you trying to do? Are you doing some kind of witchcraft or something? If you want to quit smoking, okay, go to certain, hospital or some kind of, place where those professionals are helping people to quit smoking, but just stop repeating this stupid prayer or sentence, whatever it is, because you are going to get crazy. You're going to get nuts. And I was so stunned, I was so surprised to listen these thoughts in my mind. And I have realized those thoughts are not mine. Some other mind is putting these thoughts in my mind very forcingly. And I was so confused. I didn't know what's going on. It was like a very hard conversation with somebody. It was like a quarreling with somebody. It was like a fight with somebody. I thought, am I really getting crazy? Am I really starting to talk to myself? Or this is really somebody who is trying to stop me, what I made decision to do. And I said, okay, I'm not going to quit. And I continued to repeat this prayer. Lord God, help me to get free from this passion. So we left our apartment, we came to our van, and started to our trip to downtown to our store. during the driving through the Manhattan, it was really bombing and ringing in my head. My mouth was completely dry. I didn't know what was going on. I was so confused. And I wanted to light a cigarette so badly. I never had such a great, terrible craving for cigarette before that. And deeply in myself, I have realized that something really, some kind of very great fight and something very serious is going on. But because why it would be so hard to me right now when I have decided to try to free myself from smoking with God's help? And what happened? And of course, Gigi realized something is really strange going on with me. He tried to start a conversation, but very soon he realized that it's meaningless, so he stopped. So we continued the second half of our trip to downtown in complete silence. I was silent, and I was deep in my fight, in my struggle, not to light a cigarette. But what happened? Before we have arrived, in a second, in one part of a second, for the first time from that morning, I felt some kind of pause, some kind of break in this fight, some kind of break in this craving. And I felt, I don't want to smoke. I don't feel like smoking. I said to myself, what is this? What is this kind of break? What is this kind of relief? Very short, but very concrete relief from this fight. I'm not feeling like I want to smoke. But then again, it came back. And the fight continued. So I have realized that something is happening. And in about 10 minutes, again, this relief came to me. This time a little longer. It lasted for about maybe 5 or 10 seconds. I was just free from this craving. I didn't have need to light a cigarette. And I realized something is really happening. Something is really cleaning me. I have to continue. So I really continued hard the rest of the day. And more and more, more often, these reliefs, these pauses, these breaks were coming to me. And I was feeling that I don't want to smoke. But of course, by the very end of the day, the crisis was so strong that I couldn't exist. I couldn't exist it anymore. I couldn't stand it anymore. So I had to light one cigarette. But it was only one cigarette in the evening. And it was the last one in the course of that day. So I felt, in a way, that I made a victory. It was really great victory to me to light only one, to smoke only one cigarette that day. So I, by the end of this day, I have realized that Lord, really, whoever He is, whoever He might be, this creature, this very covered personality of His, helped me. He helped me. So the very next day, I continued with the same fight. And again, I had more and more longer reliefs from this craving for the cigarette. And this way, it happened 3 days. 3 days, I was fighting, praying all the time in myself mentally when I was together with people, or silently, orally, in a low voice. And thanks to the Lord and to all heavens, the 4th day, I didn't light any cigarette. And I felt such a strength in myself. I felt such a great relief that I can be without cigarettes. And from that day, which was, I will tell you, it was 1989, I have never lit another cigarette until today. Lord, the Creator of the universe, help me. And I am fully convinced I am saying this, because I knew how many times I tried to quit my cigarettes, my smoking, but I never managed to do that. And this time, invoking God, I felt this strange strength in myself that I have never felt in my life. And I definitely realized that some power from above, some high power, helped me. And I have to say that this was the beginning of my Christian life. And I definitely came to conclusion that there is a power from above. There is a universal power. There is a beautiful, unexplainable source somewhere far away in the universe, somewhere far away and at the same time very close, source of immense power. And there is a way to receive this power, to be in contact with it, to be participant in this power, and in this way to have and to acquire extremely important benefit for your life. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. And it was like an earthquake in my life. It was like a great blow to me. And I was 29 at that time, not very young, already in a very serious age. So it was a great quake in my life. So for a certain number of days, for a certain time, I had to gather myself together again and to think over again what happened to me. Because it was like a dream, it was like a movie to me, it was like a film to me, you know. What really happened to me? I started to pray, I became a Christian or what, and I quit smoking. For me, it was extremely great thing in my life. Maybe to somebody who is going to listen to this, this is not that big thing, but to me it was. Because I have realized that I have a control, I have a power, I have a control of myself. Again, I could say, I don't want to do this, and really to do that. So, in about 10 days after this, I didn't go almost anywhere in the evenings. I stayed at home and I was thinking and I was praying, I have to say, in my way, because I didn't know yet what a prayer really is. But I was deeply withdrawn in myself and I was thinking, what really happened? Who is that God? Who are you? Who are you? I realized you exist. You are here. You're listening to me. You're helping me. Is that really possible that God exists? That you beautiful creature, my parent, my heavenly parent, my heavenly father, you really exist. Who are you? How can I know you? How can I get close to you? Please help me. Please be with me. Never leave me anymore. What is this all about? Am I getting crazy, or this is something most beautiful that could happen to me in my life? And so I started to pray. I didn't know for Jesus prayer. Still, I didn't know for that. because I didn't have books about Christian life. Only those two books that I have read. Although I have realized in this book, there are prayers that they are related to the name of Jesus Christ. Although it was yet strange to me and really distant from me, so I started to pray every day, all the time. God, help me. Very simple. God, help me. And I started to repeat this in my mind all the time. And with every new invoked God's name, I felt certain pleasure in my chest, in my heart, in my soul. And this pleasure was continuing as long as I was repeating this little simple prayer, Lord, God, help me. And I don't know what was going on. I didn't know what is going on. But one thing I really knew very well. I'm feeling well. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pleasure deep in myself. I feel satisfied. I feel content. I feel joyful. I feel peaceful. I feel so serene. And in the meantime, the things went absolutely bad with my partner Gigi and his wife. And it came to the point where we couldn't live together anymore. And if I remember well, if I mentioned in my previous talks, that I have discovered this apartment through a friend of mine who was a painter, artist in Greenpoint from Brooklyn. He helped me to get in touch with a certain landlord in Williamsburg. Williamsburg was a part of Brooklyn, which was right next to Greenpoint, which was Polish part. The Polish people used to live there. And on the second, on another part, another side, was Orthodox Jews, Hasidic Jews. And there I have found this apartment, because I have realized there is no really any sense anymore to be with Gigi together in business and even more in common living. So without any really hard fight or hard words or whatever, I tried to do all this in a very civilized way. We were, you know, regular. We did this split in a civilized way, in a friendly way, if I can say it this way. I gave him completely everything what store and the whole, everything that we possessed in this store. And I have taken a van, because Gigi was not a driver, and we split our belongings this way, if I can say. And we greeted each other, and with the help of my new Christian friend Darko, he came one day and he helped me to move my stuff, to put it in the van, and I finished this part, this episode of my life in New York, and I felt very good. I felt very satisfied during our drive from Upper West Side Manhattan towards Williamsburg in Brooklyn. And I was thinking how rich, basically, this period of my life in New York was. Because it was not very long. It was a little less than 2 years. But I have realized what the really life in New York is, and more important of everything, that I have realized that I have found a faith. I have found a living God, and I have discovered Christianity in the way I have never thought that Christianity is. So I was traveling towards this apartment, which was really beautiful apartment, I have to admit. It was 3 rooms apartment, very, 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 very comfortable, with big rooms, in a very nice and quiet part of Brooklyn. Although, of course, there is no quiet part in New York in general. But it was okay. It was a Puerto Rican part, but nice people. You know, sometimes they would go out during the summer and they would play their cassette players very loud, and kids would play around, and they would take a shower in open hydrants. But anyway, it was very cute, and it was very, it was not very dangerous. So I fell in love with my new neighborhood. My landlord was a very nice lady. She was Russian, although American-born, and she was Orthodox, but of course she didn't practice her religion. But, you know, for me it was something because basically her father, who was a main landlord, who was main owner of the building, he was Russian-born, of course, who came, let's say, 40 years ago in New York, and he never learned well English, but he forgot his Russian, so he was very grotesque person. But we could speak a little bit in some mixture of Russian, Serbian, English. So he was a nice person, very hard-working, you know, and he left Russia, I think, before Second World War. And so it was nice to me. There was a nice background with a garden and with Brooklyn cats. And I found myself in a completely new environment, starting new life, starting really new life, being myself now, without partner. And new life opened in front of me. And I was very grateful to this God who got in touch with me, who announced himself to me in such an open way. And when I moved in, when I put my things all over, and when Darko had his tea with me, and when he went back to his home, I stayed alone, and with great joy in my heart, I have realized that a great new, beautiful period in my life is opening in front of me. And with God's help, I will continue about this light that has shone in my life in our new radio shows. Until then, goodbye and be joyful. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.